Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the podcast. Today is our final episode. My name is Eden Wilson, and I'm here with my colleague to look deeper into the comparative aspect of our case studies.
Thanks, Eden. That's right. I'm Chrissy Herrig, and I'm excited to be here on our concluding episode today. To start, let's give a quick reminder of our research questions to our listeners.
All right. Our research questions consider what recurring themes are relevant to women in 21st century Cuban and Dominican Afro-descendant activism, and further, how do non-traditional forms of activism aid these women?
Our case studies look at Ochi Curiel and Las Crudas, powerful activists who provide insight into the broader landscape of Afro-descendant feminism movements in the 21st century.
Chrissy, will you give our listeners a little outline of our conversation today?
Absolutely. Today we're going to be focusing on first comparing the work of activism in light of our specific case studies' posture towards their countries and states. Next, we'll consider the music themes and symbolism found in the work of Las Crudas and Ochi Curiel to gain insight into the important ideas for Afro-descendant feminism as a whole. From there, we'll delve into what it means to be an Afro-descendant woman in Cuba and the Dominican Republic from the perspectives of our case studies. We'll conclude by discussing the broader implications of our research for the future of activism and briefly summarize what we've discovered over the course of this podcast.
I can't wait. Let's get started. Despite their proximity, Cuba and the Dominican Republic differ in their histories and political atmospheres. This is reflected in activism. While the core doctrine of the movements may remain, the institutions or deep-rooted norms are country-specific. The defiance of state and institutional oppression is a relevant topic for both cases, explained by Ochi Curiel as she recognizes that the state, multinational corporations, and neocolonial cooperation authorizes projects that perpetuate structural racism. She critiques UN conferences and organization as nothing more than expressions of neoliberalism, giving voice to the struggle for many Afro-descendant feminists who operate within the United Nations initiatives. Recognizing the power relations often ingrained in institutions reveal the work still to be done in this area. In her paper mentioned above, Curiel highlights the dehumanization committed by corporations in league with the state, which frame human crises as barriers to development. Las Crudas recognizes the patriarchal nature of social norms and institutions in Cuba, many of their song lyrics explicitly criticizing this. Their lyrics, like in the song Eres Bella, reach into colonial institutions that shame Black women for their bodies, idealizing thinness and whiteness. The claim of racial democracy in Cuba also pushes Las Crudas to address the class and race discrimination women already face on top of sexist biases. The exhaustion of constant labor within the home and in the public professional sphere reveals bitterness towards the Cuban state's implicit oppression of Afro-descendant women.
It's so powerful that these women can be united in their fight against these issues, even when they're from completely different countries. The fact that they're from different countries certainly leaves room for discussion of differences in their activism, too. As you mentioned, Eden, both cases fight against institutional and state-based oppression. However, I think it's important to draw attention to Las Crudas' sentiment of extremism, as they've communicated its necessity. The band members shared that living in a society that glorifies the notion of machismo is so sexist, so extremist, that it's necessary for women to be feminist with equally extreme views. This part of Cuba's culture certainly lays the foundation for Las Crudas to take extreme action in their music and performance. Further, it provides an avenue for them to draw attention to how extremist sexist culture is by matching that energy.
That makes a lot of sense. Does Ochi Curiel have these same extremist ideals?
Curiel's writing and activism absolutely call for transformative change. However, her approach is often on paper, through academic scholarship, or in grassroots organizations. The ideas are just as powerful, but she communicates them differently than Las Crudas does.
Right. There are so many ways to incite social change. Speaking of, let's dive into the themes and symbols used in our case studies as examples of non-traditional activism. Both music and academia provide a meaningful application of the themes which underlie the struggles of Afro-descendant women.
For sure. While both cases have a huge portfolio touching on many ideas, the themes of decolonial feminism and challenging heteronormativity show themselves consistently. Eden, do you want to talk a little about decolonial feminism in the work of Ochi Curiel and Las Crudas?
Yeah, let's first give a brief definition. Maria Lujans refers to the decolonial feminism as focused on the discussions centered on coloniality and colonial differences based on gender in a 2021 article. Ochi Curiel talks about the designation Black women as a political identity, recognizing an experience of race, gender, and class in a long memory of colonial violence. She reflects on its ability to create space for the stages of feminism and racism. However, in her article, A Brief Mapping of Identity Politics, she draws attention to the term being dangerously regarded as a biological category too often. The movement for the identity of Black women in the Dominican Republic reflects this understanding. Years after its original establishment, the organization changed its name to the House of the Identity for Afro Women. They stated that they didn't want to continue using Black due to the colonial charge it carried and because Afro-descendant gave the possibility of assuming themselves as a diaspora.
The topic is so intricate, we could give it a whole episode. That's a great example of the theme in Auchi Curiel's work. But what about Las Crudas?
Las Crudas Cubensis lyrics explicitly call out the need for decoloniality and feminism, not only on the global stage, but even in their specific country. A 2007 article explains how they reject the old Cuban adage that Black women are strictly for work while mulattoes are for love, drawing attention to the discriminatory practices ingrained even in a united female front. As mentioned before, their song Eres Bellas criticizes the inherently white and colonial beauty standards often imposed on Afro-descendant women. They address the power dichotomy between men and women, even those of color in the line, men always looking for power, us women, no. Las Crudas unwaveringly draw attention to the sexist differences between women and men, even when they're both under the oppression of racism, and highlight how the global feminist movement often fails to recognize the roots of coloniality and white privilege, undermining the efforts of Black women.
Their challenge of heteronormativity plays a role here too, as queer individuals are often privileged in feminist movements and certainly in Cuban society. Their song, Mi Cuerpo Es Mio, says Crudas Cubensi one more time, representing women and queer people's choice, as they claim and empower their identity. In the same song, they proclaim neither master, nor state, nor party, nor husband. This categorization of husband with master and state recognizes the autonomy all women should have, but especially emphasizes how queer women can't be forced into submission by a husband.
Wow. What about Auchi Curiel? Does her activism align with this theme of resisting heteronormativity?
Yes. In a 2016 article on Rethinking Feminist Politics, she even references bodies and sexualities as a necessary component in decolonization as a whole. Her analysis in La Nación Heterosexual takes Colombian society as a case study. She posits it is generalizable to Latin America as a whole. She recognizes their constitution and ultimately the enforcement of heterosexuality as contradictory due to the exclusions it poses in the name of cohesion. Global social theory explains how the text agrees with lesbian thinkers that heteronormativity is an institution and political regime that intersects all social relations, affecting primarily women, in particular lesbian.
This totally works back to the importance of intersectionality. Let's transition our conversation now to looking at what it means to be an Afro-descendant woman. Auchi Curiel and Las Crudas both deliver insight into these meanings from personal experience. The notions of resistance and resilience, intersectionality, and anti-essentialism towards identity are central. Chrissy, can you talk to me a little bit about the idea of resistance and resilience?
Absolutely. The concepts are intricate, and intersectionality plays a large role too, so I'll outline that first. Afro-descendant feminist activism is a specific cause in terms of intersectionality since it advocates for individuals who are representative of multiple marginalized groups. Black females are also disproportionately impoverished, uneducated, sexualized, and restricted in the expression of their own sexuality. This locates them deep in the field of intersectionality. The members of Las Crudas speak to the variety of identifications they possess, commenting that, "I'm not above all Cuban. I am more than Cuban. I am feel as a woman. I feel Black." Their work on female sensuality and lesbianism also speaks to the sexuality component of identity and the distinct oppressive experiences that come with it for Black Cuban women. Another part of an intersectional view can consider how individuals are perceived physically relevant, as Las Crudas often makes remarks around body image. Their song Gorda celebrates fat women, and Eres Bella rejects the idealization of thinness. The lyric, "The body is not your only virtue," works to reinforce the objectification involved in being an Afro-descendant woman in Cuba.
These characteristics compound to create a harsh lived experience. In this, resilience and resistance are necessary and integral to being an Afro-descendant woman. In Pa Que Ten Teres, the group offers lyrics like beautiful woman, goddess woman, sacred, divine, feminine creature. You are the mistress of yourself, and offering encouragement and visibility for women to continue the fight. In another line, they say, the Crudas have broken the mold. We will overcome the difficulty, recognizing their positionality and embodying resilience. This links back to remarks on being extremists in their feminism too, a necessity for preservation.
Exactly. These foundations of identity are also found in Ochi Curiel's paper, Rethinking Radical Anti-Racist Feminist Politics in a Global Neoliberal Context. She touches on the term Amefricanity. It's explained as a process of resistance, of reinterpretation, of creation of new cultural forms, referencing indigenous and African models and rescuing others, constructing an identity which is a mixture of things. Considering identity as something fluid and mixed speaks to the many components of one's life which contribute to who they are. Every identity is intersectionality in some measure, but the experience of Black women is distinct, as their pieces of the puzzle often constitute numerous forms of oppression. Ochi Curiel addresses intersectionality in the same paper, expanding on the idea of mujer negra. The term recognizes the impossibility of compartmentalizing the experiences of being a woman and being Black, asserting that language should reflect the impossibility of separation. Using this term provides a single word to convey the intersectional identity of being an Afro-descendant woman.
That's interesting, especially given that the anti-essentialist view Curiel offers in regards to identity.
I agree, but the two ideas certainly work together. Do you want to expand on the sentiment of anti-essentialism towards identity?
For sure. The Cognitive Science Society regards identity essentialism as the belief that kind members have an underlying essence that makes them members of the kind that they are. Ochi Curiel remarks that Afro-descendant women need to be more anti-racist than Black or Afro, which means they can't forget that they're Black or Afro, but this also has to intersect with common sites of oppression and simultaneously other histories and resistance of transformation. For activism to incite transformation, women must recognize that their peers and allies are comprised of a multiplicity of parts.
That's beautiful. Las Crudas Cubensis shares this notion, right?
Yes. The spring 2007 edition of Feminist Activist Art presented the group as securing a space for self-definition. They repeatedly celebrate women of all shapes, sizes, and sexualities, and especially uplift women who don't conform to the stereotypical gender roles perpetuated by Cuban society. Many of their song lyrics talk about breaking the mold. It's clear that they reject a view that defines being an Afro-descendant woman as a single experience. There's a multiplicity of experiences that are constantly expanding to create new meanings for the identity.
Great. Thanks for that, Eden. All right, guys. It looks like our three-part series is coming to a close. So as we wrap up this final episode, we want to leave you, the listeners, with some parting thoughts. Through the exploration of our two countries and our case studies, our goal was for you, the listeners, to be able to understand the contextual implications of our topic, the importance of Ochi Curiel and Las Crudas' music and academic work, and to revel in the similarities and differences of both cases.
Right. I also want to mention that we've explored how the creativity and activism of our two case studies highlights the distinct nature of their messages, but also emphasizes their similarities as decolonial feminist artists. By amplifying their specific forms of messaging and their unique forms of activism, we've shown in our podcast series how activism is not necessarily one size fits all. It can take multiple different forms, like music, academia, and/or collective organization. One thing is for sure, though.
What's that, Eden?
That no matter the outlet, female Afro-descendant activism is always deeply rooted in their political, historical, geographical, and sociocultural contexts. And this is something we must remember and acknowledge when thinking about Ochi Curiel and Las Crudas.
That is such a good point, Eden. It is definitely important to recognize that. Have you given any thought to future research in this area?
I mean, this is such a rich area to study. There are definitely some topics that came up in our research that I wish we could have explored further.
Want to give us some examples?
Sure. For one, queer female Afro-descendant activism in Cuba and the Dominican Republic would have been a really interesting topic to expand on, considering Las Crudas' focus on queer Afro-descendant women in Cuba. Also, I'd love to compare the cases of Cuba and the Dominican Republic to female-led Afro-descendant activism in other Latin American countries. All right, guys. Well, we just want to say thank you for all being a part of this journey. Hopefully, this podcast series has made you thoughtfully aware of female Afro-descendant activism in both Cuba and the Dominican Republic, And hopefully our two case studies made you think of different ways activism can prevail. Thank you. Keep thinking, sharing your thoughts, and keep working towards a better future. That's from all of us.